And it's,
thank you.
And it's one of our duties of the as the internal auditors to make sure that everything's the internal controls are in place and are working properly for all of these, not just cash, but with the credit cards as well. It's becoming a very hot button issue. And in addition, we did a review of the fairgrounds audit. Tom Nosek is here. He led that audit. Very well received by FSNG management over at the fairgrounds. In terms of what's coming up, this is the end of our two-year work plan. Every 2 years, we do a risk analysis and devise a work plan that runs about 2 years. And so 2015 will be when we do our next one. This will be my first. And so what that involves is we go around and we talk with all the department heads and the commissioners and the elected officials, get a feel for what their concerns are with the county operations. In terms of risk, we're basically talking about vulnerabilities to county operations, not just financial risk, as Greg was talking about, these performance audits. We look at other aspects, at public safety, at cybersecurity. There's all kinds of different angles that we look at. That'll be coming up in the spring. We're looking forward to it.
Well, thanks, Matt. So now I'll ask Larry Stafford, who is the chief auditor on this performance audit of the job creation fee waiver program, to do a presentation on his work. And following that presentation, there'll be an opportunity for questions from anybody here. Questions not just on this piece of work, but anything related to do with audit services group. So, Larry, go ahead and walk us through your report.
I'd like to thank the members of the Audit Oversight Committee for making time on the holiday week. I know a lot of folks are busy this week. So we'll move right into the performance audit that we did on the job creation fee waiver program. So the scope and the objectives of the audit. We're really to look at the first year of operations. By the way, for everyone, the report and the press release will be available on our public website. Those should be going up as we speak right now. And I believe the press release will actually be out by 11 a.m. Just for logistics purposes. But the report details a little bit of background that we won't cover here just for time's sake. But it talks about a couple of the prior iterations of fee waiver holidays and programs in the county. So the scope is of the current fee waiver program, essentially enacted in June 2013, and its first year of operation, the time period we covered, actually ran to August of 2014. And the objectives of the work that we covered on that period, one, to evaluate the design and implementation of the program and determine if the program follows best practices, aligns with Clark County policies on economic development, and has been properly managed and monitored. And our second objective was to assess the cost and benefits of the program. And before we move too far in, we did receive quite a bit of cooperation and assistance from a number of individuals, and we wanted to recognize them. Clark County Department of Community Development, of course, being responsible for this program, was very involved and very helpful to us in this work. The board of county commissioners and their office and staff, also very helpful retrieving resolutions and digging information out. Clark County Public Works, as it relates to the traffic impact fee portions, was also very helpful. We also worked with the Washington State Employment Security Department and the State Awarding Employment Department for data purposes and some insight or perspective on some things. So we certainly appreciate all the assistance that everyone provided in getting this work done. So the first step that we had to take in trying to analyze the program was to figure out what it's supposed to do, really. And the resolution outlines several problem statements, but doesn't necessarily define expected outcomes. So what we did was interview a lot of folks involved with it, review the resolution itself, and put together this program logic model, which kind of is a map for how the program is supposed to work and includes the outcomes as we understand what the program is actually supposed to do. And just briefly following this through over here, you can see that's where we really start counting what we do. Waiting application, permit application, traffic impact fees related to certain types of construction permits. And that is intended to incentivize short-term outcomes, which are increased construction by business and developers, which in turn then moves into or incentivizes or drives medium-term outcomes, creating new businesses, expanding existing businesses, and creating new jobs. And ultimately, there are some long-term outcomes, which are additional spillover in the economy through the jobs that businesses create, thereby creating additional jobs, leading to new jobs for commuters, to Clark County citizens who are commuting outside the county to take jobs here in the county, and then also leading to increased tax revenue through sales tax, property tax. And finally, the last piece was improving the county's reputation as a business-friendly location. So the first area that we talked about was incentivizing construction activity. And this chart is accumulation of data that we retrieved from the Department of Community Development. And it compares construction activity in the county. This top line is residential and multifamily construction activity. And this is in terms of value of construction. And this bottom line is non-residential, which is basically the group that qualifies for the current fee waiver program. And what we wanted to see was, what is the impact of these programs over time on construction activity? Is there any visible link or impact of one on the other? And so what we did was laid these programs, the 2010 program, the 2012, and the 2013 program, over the top of these trends, and we're unable to determine any clear link between when those programs were initiated, when their eligibility or obligations of the applicants receiving fee waivers, when those obligations changed. We couldn't determine any impact on those on construction activity. Indeed, it seemed there was certainly something else driving the construction activity rather than these fee waiver programs. And we did see similarities, although not identical, we do see similarities in the trends between those that are eligible for the fee waivers and those that aren't. And so it does appear that there is something outside of these programs with a much larger impact on overall construction activities evaluation. The other piece that we wanted to understand, of course, we're talking about behavior. The whole intent is to incentivize, to change behavior. And we did quite a bit of research on methods to evaluate behavior. And one of the most noted was surveys, although there was at least one study that noted that surveys tend to over-report the impact. But this is a survey. It was a statistically valid survey that was created by people here in the county staff, and executed by the Department of Community Development in 2011. And so this was the tool that we had and data that we had that was reliable and useful, so we did use it. And what the fee waiver recipients told community development at that time, 60% of them said that the fee waivers had no impact on their decision to build. 16% said it only accelerated their plans to build. Another 11% said they're not sure if they would have built without the fee waivers. And 13% fully said they would not have built without a waiver. So to kind of understand the spectrum of how much impact these fee waivers were having on construction activity and business decisions. So moving along that spectrum of outcomes, next we wanted to understand what impact there might be on jobs. And the current program has, during this time period, between June 2013 and August 2014, had awarded $7.8 million in fee waivers to 153 projects. And so we wanted to better understand what those projects were, what they were doing, and what jobs are they potentially incentivizing. So this data comes directly from the Department of Community Development as well. And it shows that the majority of fee waivers awarded, these blue areas, are going to retail, food, entertainment, and consumer service industries. In fact, that's 68% going to that. And the rest going to wholesale trade, manufacturing, healthcare, social assistance, and then all others combined were all very small numbers. So for clarity, we put them into one group. And what we, again, going back to behavior, we were wondering what impact that has on those businesses. The research that we did, speaking with regional economists and doing research on surveys of CEOs in the retail and consumer service industries, was very clear that the majority of their business is driven by consumer spending and behavior and not by these types of incentives. So, in fact, we found one study from Louisiana where they actually found that 90% of the jobs incentivized by their business incentive program were actually replacing other jobs in the retail industry because consumer spending had not kept up. And to correlate where the fee waivers are going with who's forecasting those future benefits to jobs, you can see most of this is the jobs forecasted graph on the right here. Again, the blue area shows those same industries, retail, food, entertainment, and consumer services, and reporting about 58% of the forecasted jobs. And this data, the forecasted jobs, is self-reported by applicants when they apply. It is a best practice to get this data up front, and that's a good thing. However, the confidence in it has been reported as being extremely low. Applicants must report in order to receive a fee waiver. And some applicants essentially get a guesstimate in getting that data. And I believe that requirement changed over time during the first 10 months of the program. So community development has been going back to applicants who applied during that first 10 months to get that data. And I believe they're about 85% complete in gathering this data. The remaining gap is being filled in by a calculated number put together by the county just so they have coverage, some idea to understand what that is. So the data behind this piece is really a mix of self-reported figures by businesses, certainly some of them who have business plans that are credible and understand it. There's another chunk. We don't know the size of these groups, but there's another piece that's best guesstimates. And then there's another piece that's basically county calculated figures. The one thing that we also would like to point out is the number of fee waivers going to these other groups. They certainly may have more impact. And if you'll notice, interestingly, they're forecasting, relative to the amount of fee waivers they're getting, they are forecasting slightly a higher percentage of jobs. So it could be an opportunity, as some folks have noted, of a way to improve the program if we can focus in those areas. So considering the impact on behavior, the lack of a clear link between construction activity and the fee waiver programs, what the past fee waiver recipients have told us about their impact, we wanted to try and understand what that might look like as far as dollars. And so we estimated the number of fee waivers under the current program, which had little to no impact on business growth and job creation. And we, of course, no one would really be able to calculate a precise figure. Statistically, everybody we spoke with said it's impossible to isolate the variables enough to get a precise, statistically valid number. So we felt much more comfortable doing a range. And that range went from a low estimate of $4.6 million, and that is based on the most conservative figure we had, which was the 60% of past fee waiver recipients who told us that it had no impact at all. We didn't include those that said it only accelerated their projects. We didn't include anybody else that was on the fence. It was the most conservative figure that we had for the loan. And on the high end, we took the opposite tack, and we said, okay, if we included everybody except those That said, we would not have built without a fee waiver, which is the 13%. So that leaves us with 87%. Although we did see enough evidence to take 90% of all those fee waivers awarded to retail, food, entertainment, and consumer service based on our conversations and other studies we received. So it's approximately 88% basically of all the fee waivers, but this is the breakdown we wanted to make clear of what groups we were taking and the percentages in mind. But the high range estimate ends up being a total of $6.9 million. And again, that means any fee waivers not included in this range may have had some impact. In fact, it's quite likely some did. So again, moving along that spectrum, some of the long-term outcomes of the program are to reduce commuters. And even though we didn't see a clear link or an impact on behavior of construction activity, we did want to still examine this piece just to see what the potential is on those future folks. So what we did was work with the State of Oregon Employment Department to get actual figures that they have, trying to get the best data possible. And what they reported to us was they tracked 55,000 Clark County residents who commute to Oregon to work. And over half of them earn $769 per week or more. And then we went out and looked at the Bureau of Labor Statistics for the Portland, they didn't have it down to the granular level, just Vancouver, Clark County itself, but for the Portland Metropolitan Service Area, which includes Vancouver, Hillsborough, and Portland itself, we actually got the weekly figures as reported and tracked by the U.S. Federal government. And what we found was those four consumer areas are shaded in yellow here. And this is where the majority of the fee waivers are going and the majority of jobs being forecasted currently by the program. And all of them come in well below the $769 per week that a lot of Clark County citizens are currently making in Oregon. So at that point, we felt that it was unlikely really to incentivize many Clark County citizens to take those jobs due to the pay cut that they would receive. And also, we did want to check actual data again. We'd seen other reports of folks using state-level data, the best data possible, to go in and check their incentive programs. How are they performing? And what we found was the Washington State Employment Security Department was able to track and verify the jobs created by fee waiver recipients whose projects had completed. One thing I would like to point out here is that a lot of those projects also noted that it's not completely fair to check their progress the day they complete their project because they have to have time to hire folks, to begin additional sales. And so we found some programs that were checking 1 year out, 2 years out, and those things. But they were using that state-level data. So under the current program, we submitted a list of completed projects to the Washington State Employment Security Department. They verified those projects had created or added 115 jobs. And again, the breakdown of that is very similar to our results program-wide, which are about 64% of those 115 jobs are in the retail, food, entertainment, and consumer service industries. So it was the real-life jobs seem to be matching the expected jobs as reported by Department of Community Development. So I would stop and say just real briefly, there were a couple of other elements, if you recall from that first chart, other long-term outcomes. There was increased property taxes, sales taxes. There's a couple elements that we did not explore. I will circle back. Given the concern about confidence in data that we had and that had been reported to us in those areas, notably construction value, and what that relates to as far as property tax, future property tax, and then also the sales tax figures being reported and, again, falling into those categories of some folks had a good business plan, a lot of folks just guessed, and some are just filled in by county calculations. there wasn't adequate time to allow these projects that had finished to actually start accumulating those, to get their properties revalued, to have increased sales. So we didn't have actual data from the state to do any kind of comparison or reality check with. So we did not evaluate those areas at this time. But we did look at one other element, which is the program funding and where that may be impacting the county. Again, this is all kind of on the cost side, the cost benefit piece. And what we found is that the program is currently supported by costs on fees and permits paid by developers or businesses, construction and residential government and other types of zoning. And they have had some one instance, of an insufficient coverage where they were minus $350,000 in the building fund. I believe that was April or the second quarter of 2014. And management and the Department of Community Development projects that trend to continue. We know that they have been working on trending fund balance as far as historical costs and current fund balance, and we definitely commend them for those efforts. Would like to see projected expenses in there as well going forward to validate that, which is why we've landed on program funding may not be sustainable. We would like to see a better trend on the expenses, but certainly it should be taken as a warning or a red flag that they have had one occurrence of insufficient funding coverage from those fee-paying construction activities versus the non-fee-paying activities. The other area that program funding could impact the county, one risk, is the traffic impact fees piece. And just to give you a breakdown of the $7.8 million in fee waivers awarded, the traffic impact fees are about $6.4 million of that. We've received feedback that there's concern, especially on the federal grant side. These traffic impact fees represent private match dollars, which cannot be replaced by public monies. So although the dollars themselves might be backfilled, their ability to leverage the county into a higher competitiveness for federal grant dollars cannot be replaced. And then also, even replacing them from the road fund means that the road fund will still have fewer dollars in it overall. Taking the money from the road fund just to replace those. And so there was still concern that there could be a delay to infrastructure projects planned in the TIP. We worked with Public Works. They were unable to identify specific projects because the Board of County Commissioners could always intervene, which is one thing that we always want to consider in our analysis, the ability to intervene and make other alternate decisions. But those decisions may not be ones that the board wants to face if it includes having to borrow money to keep everything on track or choosing which projects to delay if they're key infrastructure projects. So we did want to note those. When considering best practices and other county policies, when you go back and look at the report, or if you've already seen it, you'll notice kind of the second half or so of the report focuses on this area. We found that there are some best practices missing in the program and the resolution. Most notably, clearly defining expected outcomes. There has been a lot of discussion about measuring the success of the program, and really the first place to start is knowing what it's supposed to do and clearly defining that, and that goes a long way towards developing those measures. So creating that expectation up front would go a long ways towards helping everybody understand the performance measures and develop those performance measures. Secondly, automating using data from state agencies. Everybody wants to use the best data possible, and we found several other studies and the Washington Economic Development Commission outlined best practices, one of which is using state data, the most actual data available to verify program performance and program success. Other county policies on economic development, we looked and found the Clark County Comprehensive Plan as one of the primary documents that outlines the county's economic policies and strategies. Three very reoccurring pieces in that: increasing economic opportunity for all citizens, increasing the standard of living through the growth of family wage jobs, and increasing the number of jobs available in Clark County to reduce the need for citizens to commute outside of the county. And the program overall, it seems to align with the first one, increasing opportunity for all citizens. However, we didn't see clear alignment between the second and third items, given that the majority of the jobs forecast are in the lower paying ranges. And because those are the lower paid ranges, they're unlikely to incentivize commuters to return to Clark County at this point. But again, these could represent areas of opportunity for the program to improve as well. Two tweaks to be made. So the overall conclusions that we had on this audit, the program as it's currently designed is not cost effective at achieving its intended outcomes. And secondly, the program does not follow best practices or align well with other county policies on economic development. And through that, we developed two recommendations. One, that the Board of County Commissioners consider eliminating the program or work with the Department of Community Development to implement substantial changes to improve its effectiveness. And the second recommendation, that if retained, that the program is aligned with best practices and other county policies on economic development. We may have included a list there, which includes the best practices and those other elements of county policies that aligns not only with the goal, the outcomes, so increasing the impact on behavior of these other of these businesses and increasing the impact on the future, the long-term outcomes, expanding those economic spillover effects from these fee waivers. Those are tied in to all of these recommendations. So, and that is that really completed our audit.
Well, Larry, thank you very much. I had intended to also introduce this topic by thanking the Board of County Commissioners or individual commissioners for their interest in having this program evaluated using the data, and also that this is a project that's had quite a high level of community interest. And, so this work was initiated both by commissioners' interest in looking at the performance of this program, as well as again the high level of citizen interest. So at this time, I wonder if other members of the audit oversight committee have questions regarding the audit.
Well, one of the things that we were aware of was the difficulty to measure what our target was, and that was to create those jobs. And in doing so, I know you mentioned that the difference in wages between here and the jobs you created versus the people that would commute. When you look at net for net, I don't think that's much different, because by the time you look at the travel time, the lost time in the daytime in which they travel, the additional taxes that they pay, the additional parking that they pay, et cetera. So when it comes down for net, I don't think we're that far off. It does also create, it has helped. One other thing is that any job that we have here take care of highway congestion that we would have had we not had it. Another thing I was looking at the peak, we had nearly 70,000 people commuting across the river. And I noticed now that you showed 55. 55,000 across the river. And other things that we've noted is that Clark County is leading the area in unemployment, where we before we always lagged. So when I bring those things up, which is one of the things we have to be aware of, is it's very hard to measure. One of the things that we recognize that what we're told is that our sales tax is going way farther than what we anticipated it to be. And one of the things that we look at, any job through construction or employment, nearly all that paycheck goes to pay sales tax of some sort. And so that might account for some of that. The other notes I had. One of the things that we brought to our attention was Scott Bailey report on two different occasions. So in Clark County, being coming from the farthest down, the quickest improvement in the whole Northwest. So those things said, it's very difficult to measure. We understand that. One of the things I also noticed on your chart was that there was a real flat spot going down. And when it was implemented, we had a bump. And if you look at what quarter that during construction time, and then it narrowed back down and came back up to a higher peak in construction period again, and that's what the last portion was also going to be in the construction time.
So, Tom, thank you very much for the comments. You know, obviously, you know, as a member of the Board of County Commissioners, this policy is under the Board of County Commissioners' control. So we're simply here to report on our observations and the evidence as part of that. So did you have a question related to work?
No, I was just kind of sharing this with the balancing that we do as a policymaker.
Sure.
When we put that in, when we implement that.
Sure.
And the thing that we recognize that we can't measure show increases that we can't measure. We can't justify or pinpoint directly to that income and the kind of job placement being so much higher. It has some positive place there that I don't think that you're measuring.
Right. Tiffany, do you have any questions?
I have two questions.
Yeah, sure.
If we could go to on page 5, in your chart on page 5. Just two questions, and I didn't notice this till you were going through, but then Tom noted it.
Yeah.
But if we go to that non-residential line, we and then you see the line where the job creation fee waiver program is created sometime between the second and third quarters of 2013, there is a pretty significant spike, and in fact, up to almost $30 million, you know, almost more in non-residential projects than over the course of the prior 3 years. Do we, I mean, is that can that increase be attributed to this?
I would say, based on the evidence that we have, a portion of it would be. And again, that's why the report says that there's a range of impact fee waivers that had little to no impact. You know, again, we can't say that it was 85% effective. And I agree, Commissioner Melky, with that's kind of what he was speaking to as well. Identifying a specific performance piece would be practically impossible from everything that we've heard. And that's why in developing performance measures, we take an accumulation of evidence, and that's why expected outcomes are so critical, because it allows you to determine where you can measure. This,
right.
This is what we see, that this is the only thing the county can do is handle the permit side. The first piece that we can measure then is the effect on construction. And we did that by looking at construction trends and also asking the fee waiver recipients, what was the impact? And the fee waiver recipients told community involvement, 60% of them said it had no impact. So that's this piece is the survey combined with the trends over time is what we're looking at, not just one little element on the chart. We're taking things in totality to develop that range.
Sure. So my second question goes to the fund balance deficit.
Yes.
I'm sort of scratching my head only because there's so much more volume in projects in the last couple of fiscal years,
yes.
Say during the Great Recession. So were there fund deficits back then? Are there other things going into play in that those departments, like more staff or more overhead? I guess I don't have enough information to understand the deficit.
Yeah, good question. I would defer to the Director of Community Development on what expenses were going on during that time period. We haven't done the research. That wasn't part of the scope of this.
Okay.
But I would say that, again, we, you know, the information we were provided is that this was the first time in a long time that they've gone negative on a monthly basis, right? Cash in versus
right.
Cash out. And so that is what we're reporting at this point. Forward projections or historical retrospectives on expenses versus the funds. And we're not saying the fund balance is in a deficit situation. We're just saying at that one moment, that was more of a monthly cash in versus cash out. So just to clarify. And please correct me if I'm mischaracterizing that at all.
So that was a quarterly.
Yeah, second quarter.
For second quarter of this year, our expenses exceeded the revenue. We have a chart that actually, I think, goes back to about 2004-ish to today, and we have had, in the Great Recession, we had negative fund balances. And since about 2010, we've been solvent and then some.
Larry, I have a question. I found an interesting observation in your report where you talk about businesses that are businesses that are providing goods and services to local citizens who are, they're currently importing those goods and services from other communities. So my question is, as you've done this research, have you found that there are subsidies or incentives that governments can provide that will create those types of jobs?
We did see at least one study, again, going from memory, but that focuses on exporting type industries. And so the I believe what you're referring to is, again, that this outcome piece, which says those additional spillover effects in the economy, those additional jobs, reducing the displacement effect on existing jobs, that happens much more frequently if you have a business that comes in that is not competing with existing businesses. And it's really that competition piece that's the center of that conversation. If you incentivize a new business that is not competing with existing ones, but is exporting and selling outside of the area, then they're bringing, that truly is new money into the region, because that, those are sales that did not exist before, and they're not displacing existing sales because they're not competing necessarily with Intralco.
So that would be a way of creating, in effect, an increase in the average incomes of per capita income or GNP within the community. Would that be a way to think of that?
It could. It depends on the industry that they're in and the pay scale associated with it. But yes, it could. And I think the other piece was replacing imports. So if you create a business where currently your region is importing a lot of product, and you can incentivize a new business to replace that import stream and sell locally, then you have the same effect, which is truly new sales to the area and new jobs with a low probability of displacing existing ones.
So again, though, in your research, do you find that there are specific types of subsidies or incentives that governments can provide that will result in those types of jobs?
I would hesitate to say specific types of incentives. I would rather say the way that programs are designed. The tool is really dependent on how you use it, from what we've seen in our research.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
So I guess one of my questions is, and maybe I'm jumping way too far in, is are there ways the county can improve its collection of data from, you know, from these waiver participants? For example, it sounds to me like they're estimating things at the beginning. Is that true? And we're sort of, some of them are very detailed and have very good plans, and some sort of scratch things out on an application.
Sure.
Does it make sense, or is it part of the program, or maybe this is part of your recommendation to say, okay, 6 months after construction or 12 months after construction, right, you've got to now report to us what's actually happened so we can adjust the waiver or make sure it was appropriate, or are we collecting data afterwards?
Yeah, the recommendations, when we do a performance audit because of our independence, we want to make sure that our recommendations aren't overly prescriptive. We want to certainly provide good information and guidance, direction, generalized direction for audits, but we can't get down into the details of how they manage and execute. So we do have a recommendation that they use data sharing agreements with the state. We have seen other programs that use that both on the front end of the program and on the back end as well. So on the front end, there was one particular study where they were doing an average. If you're a business coming in to apply, we look at your maybe past 30 or 45 days of your average employment levels. And then on the back end, we do a one-year check-in. We do the same thing, an average of a 30 or 45-day employment level for you. And again, at 2 years. And that way, you're not, because you have some seasonality. I think Commissioner Murphy spoke to seasonality in some of the jobs. It irons out a little bit of that seasonality, gives you a good, reasonable starting point. And then you can check in again after they've completed their projects during the duration. Of course, this doesn't work for brand new businesses. And those folks, again, you know, you're going to have the best information you can probably. But certainly validating that with accurate data from the state on the back end. So I think there are opportunities out there. There are programs doing that.
And I have a client in Louisiana county government where on the new businesses, they do that. They have them estimate, and then, I don't know, there's a certain come back to the county. They have to come back to the county and say, here's what's actually happened. And then it's a tax. It's not a fee waiver, but it's the same idea, that they adjust the tax up or down based on what's actually happened because they don't have that kind of data because they're brand new.
Sure, and that's understandable. I mean, their businesses are trying to run a business and not tax one.
That's right.
Sure. Well, thank you. Any more questions for you? Or?
No.
Okay, good. Well, thank you again. And this time, it's kind of unusual. We'll go ahead and open up to anyone who has any questions about this. And try to limit questions to the subject at hand here, either this audit or other audit work that we've done in the past or perhaps in the future. So if there is anyone who has any questions, I'm happy to see in the back there. Yeah, yes, ma'am.
The data that you're talking about, is it all of Clark County or unincorporated Clark County?
Yeah, thank you for the question. The data that we are using, the construction valuation data, is only unincorporated Clark County. The fee waiver itself only applies in the unincorporated areas of the county. And that was something that we noted in the audit report as well as the potential for competition between unincorporated areas and the incorporated areas of the county that it could lead to. And we have seen other reports that comment on that as well. And so on. Does that answer your question?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Is there a way to compare the construction value
I believe some other departments in the county are attempting to do that. We did talk about that early on as one potential methodology. The concern that we found was there are other incentives available from other areas. City of Vancouver, while they don't have a broad-based incentive program, they do award fee waivers on a project-by-project basis. The state has over 50 incentive programs. There are some rural areas in the county that qualify for additional funding from the state. So how do you weigh how much this incentive had an impact for business versus any of the others that they had access to, those competing pieces? And we couldn't isolate that or find a way to truly measure that, short of actually, you know, potentially going out and surveying the entire business community, which incentives in your industry, which incentives truly move you the most? Because there are a number of incentives available to businesses across the county, regardless of where they're building.
May I clarify?
Sure.
I think my question was not related so much to which incentives work, mm-hmm. as it was to the raw data,
yes.
about job creation, tax revenue, inside and outside of city limits. Commissioner Wilkie made the statement that county job growth is rapidly accelerating.
Yeah.
The question always becomes, is it accelerating more quickly in one place than in another, especially in terms of tax and return on investment?
Well, as it pertains to this particular audit, that was not in the scope. We did not evaluate that. And the only thing I can offer would be speculation reported. And I'm sure the same articles you have, so.
Right, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Will the other two commissioners have an opportunity to respond?
Well, the question, if you didn't hear, was will the other two commissioners have an opportunity to respond to the audit? And yes, they did have an opportunity to respond. We submitted a draft to the Board of County Commissioners and asked for a response. And unfortunately, the Board of County Commissioners did not respond to the audit. Department of Community Development did, but unfortunately, the commissioners did not. So happy to take a question if you have a question.
I have a file to share that we can put up on the screen if you like, but I want to give opportunity for our outgoing commissioner here and our incoming commissioner ahead of me.
I have just a base question.
Sure.
It's related to the report. A factor that, if I'm there, I apologize if I missed it, is the factor that a job that stays in Vancouver, where we have a resident who can work in Vancouver, that brings 9% of their annual salary back into Clark County because they're not paying Oregon state income tax. So did we look at the financial benefit of having those kinds of substantial amounts that increases the spending of, you know, the revenue in one way or another into the county? Was that a consideration?
At this point, we did not look at that element. And one of the reasons why is, again, going back to the premise that if the businesses would have done construction anyway, and they would have expanded anyway, and the jobs would have been created anyway,
sure,
then claiming association with the program would not be accurate for that percentage. And we saw a relatively high percentage, somewhere between 60 and 87%, according to the past fee waiver recipients, told us that they would have done it in some form or fashion. And so...
So I wouldn't say for all the jobs. Was it calculated for the jobs that we saw based on the monthly salary?
It was not.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so another question in the back.
I noticed that your survey of the kind of self-reporting of participants and the impact on their development was from 2011. Was the scope of those respondents similar to the scope of the current fee waiver program?
Good question.
I'm seeing the Department of Community Development Director expressed a point of view on that. Marty, do you want to respond to that?
No.
You don't want to respond to
that? I guess the follow-up question is...
I'll respond. I will respond. The survey that we conducted in the fall of 2011 was for the program that was in place from the fall of 2010 through 2010 and part of 2011. It was limited to tenant improvements in commercial zones and in certain, what the county called focused public investment areas. It was a much smaller program and had, I'm not sure the number of applications, but the scope and the cost benefit, if you will, was much different than this current program.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, we considered that in our methodology. We talked about doing an updated survey of the most recent folks, but again, we had heard through at least three different departments in the county who tried to make contact with the current applicants, the current fee waiver recipients, to get information from them. The kind of the changing course of our required information over the first 10 months of the program seems to have discouraged some of them from responding and working with the county and getting information, which is why my understanding is community development only has 85% of the data that they've asked for. And we had a concern that we wouldn't be able to complete such a survey in a usable time frame for any kind of timely audit. Because it had taken them, well, they still have 100% of their data, but it took them many months to even get to that point. So at this point, we didn't see enough value to try and get responses from potentially disgruntled people and taking that time frame to do that. So, good question. Thank you.
So, Tiffany,
yes.
This is actually for you. So, the program that you were describing earlier about your experience of the timing of when the fees are actually, or the waivers are actually granted, so do they delay in their program? They say, okay, here's your project, and at this point we measure and say, okay, here's what we can award you? Is that how that works?
It's not a waiver. In this situation, it's a tax. And for my client, it's a tax. It's okay. A business tax. And so every business has to pay the tax. So if you're an established business, you have your data to base your tax on. For a brand new business establishing, they have to come in and pay a fee to apply for that business. And they have to estimate their revenues for the first 6 months, I believe. Then, once the 6 months occur, they have to re-report to the county and say, well, here's what actually happened. I didn't make $30,000, I made $80,000, so my tax has gone up.
So two things are accomplished. One, they have a way to measure, and then they're also required to report in order to receive the incentive.
Correct.
Because that's one of the struggles that Larry is talking about. We don't have any vehicle required reporting. And when
current program does have some expanded reporting requirements. There are a few pieces built in, but the measurements aren't necessarily defined on what they're supposed to report on. So that there have been some improvements in the iteration of programs in those areas. They've defined what it means to diligently pursue construction, for example, in the resolution of the current program. Some of those elements are there, but again, what they're actually supposed to report has not been.
Well, are there any other questions? Mr. Barr.
Just a couple quick comments. I've been concerned about the program even before I became a commissioner. And there was a couple charts up there, one that had to do between the residential and the commercial, where it showed the residential basically footing the bill for commercial as far as I'm concerned. And I've told both Tom and Dave and the other commissioners and Mark, the fairer way would be to do is, and one of the would be to put the impact fees back on everything except transportation, keep the transportation impact fees on, and I'll explain why, and lower all the fees down, because Tiffany mentioned the fact about the fees that and the taxes that when a new business goes into effect. So if they would just take both the residential and commercial fees and start dropping them down to a level where it would be more fair for everybody and not give one advantage over the other. If you say it created 115 jobs up there since this program started, to me that doesn't say that the program is a very big success. But the other problem that I have with it is being the former transportation commissioner and looking at their the statement up there about affecting the transportation dollars. If you look at the federal level, where they haven't even been able to come to grips on a federal transportation package, which we get grants, the state gets grants out of the state legislature, especially the Senate up here has not been able to come to grips on a transportation package. So my concern is that the county and the developers and the business people I've talked to and the contractors, they don't think that waiving the impact fees on construction that is appropriate. They think that those should stay there for infrastructure. And if you waive those fees at some point in time, if the feds don't come up with money and the state doesn't come up with money, the only money that the county is going to have is the money that they're going to get from the impact fees from these projects here in the county. So we need to make sure that you protect all them dollars that you can. And I'm trying to promote right now that the county work with WSDOT in order to put the other bridge up at Camas up there across the slough as a partners in that bridge, because the state doesn't have any money anymore. So I think there are areas that need to work on, but I don't think that the impact fees for 115 jobs over 2.5 years. And then when you look at the list of 169 people I have laying on my desk, I should have brought it out here, but I didn't, of these 169 people that have applied for these fees, when you get the major corporation, that the amount of money that you're talking about, that you're giving the, well, I won't mention those companies, but I'm quite sure that somebody's driving a Mercedes or somebody's going to Acapulco on a night vacation over the impact fees that they got. We on some of these major corporations over here in Carr County that got the benefit of these impact fees, which 60% of them were going to build regardless of whether they got the impact fees or not. So, I mean, it's a situation where the taxpayer should not be bearing the brunt of, I don't want to start mentioning names of major corporations. I think everybody in the room knows the people that got the benefit of those. And if you look at that list of 169, you could pick them out very easily of these people that could afford to pay those impact fees, all of them, without even a whimper, and as they're, you know, these major corporations. And they just go from one state to the other state, one county to the other county to get whatever benefits that they can get, pushing one against the other. And I don't think that Clark County should be one of those counties that we're using as a to barter to get build projects over here. So
well, thank you, Commissioner Barnes. Really, we're trying to limit this not to a discussion of the policy. That's obviously that's up to the Board of County Commissioners. And so it seems that we've kind of come to the end of the questions about the audit report. I do understand that Commissioner Madore has some information he'd like to provide after we concluded the meeting of the Oversight Committee. So I will at this time then say thank you very much to Larry and Matt for the work on this piece of work. And thank you, Tiffany, again for your willingness to serve on this committee. And at this time, I will conclude the meeting of the Oversight Committee. And Commissioner Madore wants to take over, have at it. But the meeting of the Oversight Committee is now completed.
Okay, I just want to mention that we do have a response. It's a, I wish we had time to present it. We don't. All of the information is we put that out on the grid, and so the companion document here, I submit that to be presented as well. So evidence is our key. We always want to welcome scrutiny, and the files will be there for all to see and welcome the feedback. So thank you very much.